We'll shake our way through another rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Minnesota studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this unusual rain report. It's unusual in that you're going to hear from two California hams participating in a Skype conference call with Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. The topic, Radio Mala, the Nepalese connection. In the spring of 2015, two major earthquakes measuring over 7 rocked Nepal, a country sandwiched between India and China in the Himalayan mountains, killing thousands of people. Less than 6 months later, this landlocked nation was pummeled by a monsoon cyclone. Fortunately, Nepal has some reliable communications via ham radio, thanks to the efforts of two California hams. One is David Witkowski, W6DTW, whose lengthy article about Radio Mala appeared just days before this rain report was posted. More about that article later. The other ham is Suresh Oja, W6KTM. We begin with Suresh, who began putting together a radio internet network in Nepal's mirroring the Baynet in the San Francisco Bay Area in 2005. It's called Radio Mala.
Radio Mala's genesis came from two very different communities in two very different valleys. One was the Kathmandu Valley, where I was born, and the second is the Silicon Valley, where I live. Essentially, I had the opportunity to live in Nepal for a year about 12 years ago, teaching at Tribhuvan University radio frequency and microwave engineering. And when I got home, I realized that the nation of Nepal was facing a tremendous tragedy, and it was only a matter of time. It is nestled in the heart of the Himalayas. Going back many, many centuries, you see every 75, 80 years or so, there's an 8.0 earthquake. Now, I lived in modern-day Kathmandu, and I understood very well the horrific consequences that could happen when an 8.0 earthquake struck Kathmandu, knowing that it was only a matter of time. So when I got back home, sometimes I had difficulty sleeping at night trying to figure out what, if anything, could be done in preparation. Being an RF and microwave engineer and a technologist, amateur radio is something that I became interested in, and I saw the match between ham radio in the United States and in Nepal, and made contact with many of my friends, including David and I, who actually attended undergraduate engineering classes together, as well as my other friends in the Bay Area, and connected them to technologists in the Kathmandu Valley. So the story really of these two communities working well in advance to prepare this nation for this horrific event that everyone knew would come, and having quite a bit of success even before the earthquake, as was detailed in David's article, really some astonishing accomplishments during the earthquake itself.
What year did you actually teach in Nepal?
It was the year overlap between 2003 and 2004. The earthquake occurred this year in April of 2015.
When it occurred in April, you weren't surprised. Were you pleased at what ham radio was able to do at this point as opposed to 10 years ago?
That's a complex question to answer. I have mixed emotions of that. Certainly, I was very pleased from the standpoint that we had anticipated this great need for ham radio ahead of time, and we had actually constructed the only repeater in the entire nation that was operating both before and was heavily utilized during and subsequent to the earthquake itself. But due to the challenges that we had encountered over time in terms of gaining traction for commonsensical regulatory policies, overcoming customs and red tape that is endemic to this technology because it's very new to Nepal. Now, you have to remember, ham radio is over 100 years old in the rest of the world. But in Nepal, even today, after the earthquake, it's in its infancy. So we face many challenges with regards to trying to adequately deploy ham radio to the extent that it could have been deployed prior to the earthquake. But we also took great satisfaction in the fact that we were indeed quite successful, both before the earthquake and even during the earthquake, with the efforts that we had undertaken. That took so long to execute, but ultimately provided great service.
What was the greatest challenge that faced the ham radio effort in the aftermath of the 8.0 quake?
There were several, I think, but the most significant one was processing the equipment through customs. We had actually shipped the second repeater that we successfully helped to install in Nepal into the country in, I believe, February. For several weeks, it was actually sitting in customs waiting for the red tape to be processed. The earthquake actually took place and it was still sitting in customs. And at that point, we had to plead with the government of Nepal, also the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Embassy in Kathmandu, as well as significant leaders in the Nepali American political arena, as well as the Honorable Manindra Rizal, the Minister of Information and Communication, to ultimately release the equipment out of customs. Subsequently, that equipment was actually in the process of being constructed when the second major aftershock, the 7.3 earthquake, occurred. The leader of Radio Mala in Nepal, Dr. Sanjeev Pandey, and his team at the university had to literally flee for their lives, worrying that this 80-foot building may come crashing down upon them. And they came, once it was safe, to go ahead and successfully make this repeater operational. The customs process proved to be the most significant challenge during the earthquake itself. But there were many other challenges that we faced as well.
No doubt some of the challenges you faced were geographical and geological.
Geographical in the sense that I think Nepal is very removed from a lot of activities associated with amateur radio, both the government and the population as a whole. The true challenge, I think, was trying to help this nation, the government and others, move along to a broad and open understanding and practice of ham radio, and trying to do that while people were dying and buildings were collapsing and all heck was breaking loose. So that, I think, kind of sets the background of what we encountered during the earthquake itself.
How many fatalities were a result of the first and of the second quake?
I'm not sure specifically with whether the numbers have been separated with regards to the first and the second. And you have to remember they were, you know, literally only a few weeks apart. But I think the number for the two quakes together in the initial aftermath, it was above 8,000 fatalities and approaching 9,000. Now, that was at the time. Subsequently, Nepal has gone through and emerging from a monsoon cycle. So there are echo disasters associated with the initial acute challenge or the difficulty of the earthquake itself. There may be other secondary impacts that could also contribute to the loss of life. For example, roads being impassable, landslides, floods, waterborne diseases, and as a result of the geological weakening of the physical road infrastructure, people not being able to service those in needs as quickly as they would had the earthquake not taken place. Certainly, it was a major tragedy from the standpoint of loss of life.
Gosh, you go from a couple of terrible earthquakes in April of 2015, and then less than 6 months later, monsoons that compounds the misery and the need for reliable communications.
Absolutely. And so in that sense, the challenge that we have is long-term. The need for reliable and disaster communications in Nepal is ongoing and will be ongoing for some time. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is that this team, the Radio Mala team, David, others in the United States and in Nepal, we were committed and dedicated to ham radio in Nepal as a means of disaster communications for years before the earthquake. And we were there for the people of Nepal during the earthquake, and we intend to be there going forward for years into the future as well.
You're listening to a conversation between Suresh Oja, W6KTM, David Witkowski, W6DTW, and Rains Haphali, KC9RP. We'll conclude our look at Radio Mala in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on demand at therainreport.com, on Twitter at hashtag TheRainReport, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Thus far, we've heard mostly from Suresh Oja, W6KTM. His cohort in the Radio Mala project is David Witkowski, W6DTW, whose lengthy article about Radio Mala appeared in the September 9, 2015 issue of Make magazine. David is active with the stateside end of the Radio Mala project with a ham radio network called Baynet.
The Baynet system is an outgrowth of a project that started in about 2005, 2006, when some of the repeaters in the area, we had the notion of creating an open linked network. So similar to the Cactus Intertie, which some of your listeners may be familiar with, or other massively linked systems like the Wind system, Baynet is a linked system that covers the San Francisco Bay Area from south of San Jose all the way north of San Francisco and up into the wine country. We saw the geography of the Kathmandu Valley as actually being very similar to San Francisco Bay. It's a flat, somewhat oval-shaped area surrounded by high mountains. So it seemed like it was a logical choice. The Baynet system is completely funded through contributions which are made from some entities and people in the system itself. We build our repeaters using the Sierra Radio Systems controller, which Sierra Radio Systems is owned by one of the Baynet trustees, George KJ6VU. That's also, by the way, the same repeater controller that's used in the Cactus Intertie. And then we use repurposed commercial radios for the receiver and transmitter, you know, various cavity combiners and filters and commercially available gear. We are fortunate to have a siting, which is quite good in the South Bay and in the North Bay. In the South Bay, we are co-located with a wireless ISP, which pulls a very fat data pipe into the radio vault, and we help them maintain their systems because they're not RF people. They're computer network ISP people. And so we help them with RF problems, and in exchange, we get bandwidth. So that's been very nice. And that site is sort of the hub of everything that we do. First repeater in Nepal was a crossband repeater. Of course, a crossband repeater has the benefit of not requiring things like cavity combiners and filtering, and it doesn't need a pass-notch duplexer, etc. But it isn't necessarily the best system, of course, if you've got a single-band radio. The second repeater was a replication of one of the Baynet repeaters. It uses a Motorola CDM1500 on the receive and transmit side, a Sierra Radio Systems controller. It has the IRLP capability, which we're planning to bring up soon. That repeater was sighted, as Suresh noted, and was in the process of being installed when the large aftershock hit. I wrote the article because I tend to like to write. So after the Maker Faire, and after we had such a great success at the Maker Faire, the Maker editors came to us, and we won two Editor's Choice Awards for what we did in May of this year.
For the uninitiated, what is Maker Faire?
The Maker Faire is a gathering of technologists, hobbyists, people that like to work with their hands. And makers are very much like ham radio hobbyists, except that they aren't necessarily into radio. But they're the kind of people that really enjoy doing things themselves and not just buying something from a store. The Maker Faire has been coming to the San Francisco Bay Area for about 10 years now. It is unfortunately always on the same weekend as Dayton. So most of the hams wind up going to Dayton instead. It's about 130,000 people. The thing I really love about the Maker Faire is I get an opportunity to talk about ham radio with people that love to tinker and experiment and know nothing about amateur radio. So I get a chance to tell my story, and they tell me their story. So it's great. I really enjoy it.
What is the significance of the name Radio Mala?
That's an interesting question. It's a term that actually combines two languages in the same way that it does two communities and two nations. Essentially, radio is obviously radio, but mala in the local language, in Nepali in particular, means a garland. In Nepali cultures, the notion of a garland has many powerful connotations, including a blessing from your elders or protection from harm. A garland is actually made with multiple flowers connected together. And the Baynet system that we're seeking to replicate in the Kathmandu Valley, the system that's operating in the Silicon Valley, is composed of multiple repeaters linked together. In that same vein, we decided to call this project a garland of radio repeaters. So that's where the name Radio Mala comes from.
What kind of communications are you able to maintain between the stateside Baynet group and the Radio Mala folks in Nepal?
Well, there are two principal forms. I think one of them is in the practice of actually using amateur radio for conducting emergency drills. And that we've been doing literally for years. The folks from Kathmandu, our team members there, have been logging on through IRLP to Baynet and using the Baynet system even before they had a functioning repeater to conduct disaster nets with net control operator just to gain the practice. The biggest thing that I wanted to convey to your listeners is that Nepal will need disaster communications for the long term. Essentially, Nepal has had some ham radio operators actually for decades. The late wonderful Jesuit priest Father Moran operated from Nepal for decades. But unfortunately, the technology really wasn't accessible to the average Nepali. With repeaters and handy talkies being available, now we live in an era with low-cost technology where the average Nepali can have access to it as well. The ravages of these earthquakes actually will continue to be felt for years to come. There is something we can do about it. We did something about it by installing a single repeater before the earthquake took place. Now that the earthquake has, there's still much that we can do to really make sure that people's lives are impacted in a beneficial way just by making a connection. We've had many people from across the United States be very generous and make some donations. And so I would request if anybody is interested in helping to go to the Radio Mala website and go ahead and make a donation. Or if there are other ways that they're interested in participating, maybe contacting myself or David through email with any ideas they may have and how they may want to contribute.
What kind of communications are you able to maintain between the stateside Baynet group and the Radio Mala folks in Nepal?
Well, there are two principal forms. I think one of them is in the practice of actually using amateur radio for conducting emergency drills. And that we've been doing literally for years. The folks from Kathmandu, our team members there, have been logging on through IRLP to Baynet and using the Baynet system even before they had a functioning repeater to conduct disaster nets with net control operator just to gain the practice.
What's the URL for Radio Mala?
The URL is www.gnpn.golf-november-papa-november.org/radio-mala, Mike Alpha Lima Alpha. GNPN, that's Golf November Papa November dot O-R-G /radio-mala.
And if someone wants to be in touch with either of you two on email, let's have a couple of emails. Suresh, yours first.
My email is whiskey6kilotangomike@arrl.net. whiskey6kilotangomike@arrl.net.
And David, what about you?
My call, whiskey6deltatangowhiskey. And my email was whiskey6deltatangowhiskey@arrl.net. whiskey6deltatangowhiskey@arrl.net.
And that concludes our brief look at Radio Mala and the Baynet Network. We heard from Suresh Oja, W6KTM, and David Witkowski, W6DTW, two California hams who began developing the Radio Mala project in Nepal some 10 years prior to the two killer quakes that devastated that small nation in April of this year. If you'd like to read David Witkowski's lengthy article about Radio Mala and ham radio's role in the April earthquakes, go to this URL, www.bit.ly/radio-mala. Spelling that out, that's www.bit.ly/radio-mala. The URL and the email addresses for Suresh and David will be found on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain. All rights are reserved. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a 73 from all of us connected with Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, available on therainreport.com, on Twitter at #therainreport, and via iTunes.